Yep, then you shouldn't say such long slichas. On Yom Kippur itself, we say a lot of slichas. Many times we say, because on Yom Kippur, that was the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yud Gimel Lidus, and he told him, Kol Zman Shabbani Choyt Miyasu Lefonik Yisayu Hazeh, Vani Moichel Lehem. So on Yom Kippur, we say a lot of slichas, but the Erev Yom Kippur is not Yom Kippur. So if you assume the slichas, assume that they're said by Laila. That's given. Slichas are said by Laila. Not like in all yeshivas today in America, in many shuls, you start saying slichas at 7 o'clock in the morning. That's after Hanetzaham. You have to say the slichas sometime after Chatzos HaLaila, before Alos HaShachar. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that even though on Erev Rosh Hashanah we don't say Tachnun in the morning, but you say the Tachnun at the end of the slichas, because most of the time you finish the slichas and you say the Tachnun before Alos HaShachar. By us, they start saying the slichas after. They say start saying the slichas after Hanetzaham. Say Tachnun, shouldn't say Tachnun on Erev Rosh Hashanah. You shouldn't say Tachnun. So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch explain it. The Ron explained it. The earlier Mepharshim explained that these two chilufim in Hogim as to whether you say longer slichas, say 2 hours worth of slichas. They say only 15-20 minutes of slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. It depends on this issue. Does the yontif, the mitzvah teeth on Erev Yom Kippur indicate that it's a yontif? Does the yontif begin only in the daytime? So nighttime is not yet the Yom Tov. So then we should really say longer slichas as we're coming closer to Yom Kippur. So you say 2 hours worth of slichas like an Erev Rosh Hashanah. Or should we assume, no, that the Yom Tov and the mitzvah of Achila begins already the night before Erev Yom Kippur? And since it's Yom Tov, so you should really be mekatzer in the slichas. So the Rambam says we, in Eastern Europe, the minhag was that they were mekatzer. And then he adds on another kitzer. You delete a lot. And then another kitzer is that from the beginning of slichas till Erev Yom Kippur, you say the Ramos minig is that you say Hashamnu Bagadnu 3 times, and in Erev Yom Kippur you only say it once. The Vilna Gaon was opposed to that practice to say Hashamnu Bagadnu 3 times, one after the other. Why should you say 3 times? So he felt that you only say once. But those who followed the Nusach Agro from the beginning of slichas till now, they only say Hashamnu Bagadnu once. They don't say 3 times. But the minig by most people is that you say 3 times. What exactly does this depend on? What's the nature of the Nitziv and his commentary on the Shiltas writes about this? What does it depend on, whether the Mitzvah Sachila begins only by Yom on Erev Yom Kippur, begins the night before Erev Yom Kippur? So he quotes, the Nitziv quotes an issue that's discussed in the earlier Poskim, the Ksav Sofer, and others discuss, Rabbi Kadega discusses it. What's the nature of this Mitzvah of Achila on Erev Yom Kippur? Is it to prepare for the fast? So it does make sense that you prepare for the fast by eating a meal the night before Erev Yom Kippur. It means it's going to help for 24 hours later. Probably not going to help. I'm going to eat a big meal on the night of Erev Yom Kippur, and that's going to help me fast better on Yom Kippur. The stomach, only what you eat in the daytime. So if the nature of the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is to prepare for the tonus, it makes sense to assume that this special mitzvah sachil only applies in the daytime. But if we should assume that it's a separate mitzvah sachila, it's not that the nature of the mitzvah is to prepare for the fast of Yom Kippur, it's a separate mitzvah, so then it's possible to say that the mitzvah even applies the night before Erev Yom Kippur. What exactly does that mean? That it should be a separate mitzvah sachila on Erev Yom Kippur. So some developed the following idea, that the Mishnah in the end of Tainus, the last Mishnah in Tainus, says, we were just talking yesterday about the Peleg HaShbigivah. That one of the reasons for the Yom Tov HaMishos Abav was that's when the neder, not to shvua, not to allow any of their daughters to marry Shevet Binyamin when they were matter that shvua ended. So the Gemara there says, the Gemara starts off by saying, Bishleim Yom Kippurim, we understand why it was such a happy day, because it's Yom Kabbalah Sater. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luch HaShnis, that's what we're celebrating. But Chamishos Abav, what is that all about? So the Gemara gives a whole historical development, what Chamishos Abav is. So it's interesting, the Gemara considers Yom Kippur as a day that we celebrate Kabbalah Sater. So that's what Rav Shlomo Levilna raises in that question in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo. What do you mean? But we celebrate Kabbalah Sater on Shavuos. We say in the davening, it's Ma Matan Torasein. So what do you need 2 days to celebrate Kabbalah Sater? So Rav Shlomo Levilna suggests, and the Beis Halevi has this Barichas and his Drushes in the end of the second Chelik of the Shailas of Tshuvas, that maybe the original plan was HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just going to give everything as Torah Shebichzav. So that was Shavuos is the Zman Matan Torah Seinuv Torah Shemitza. Because the Gemara seems to say that in addition to the Aseres Adibis being engraved on the Luchas, there were more Pesukim, there was more written. So the Beis HaLevi quotes passages from the Zohar, passages from Midrashim, that was the original plan, that everything was going to appear on the Luchas, and there wouldn't be any need for any Rabbonim to paskin anything in the Torah Shemal Pei. You look up, everything would be there on the Luchas. Then after the Chet Ve'egos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to change the plan, because he was afraid that the Ummah Soilim would have Shlita on B'nai Yisrael, so they'll have Shlita on the Torah. So the Rabbanu Shalom decided he's going to have to give only part is going to be Bechsav, and the rest is going to be Torah Shabbat Pe. So Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai the second time around. That's one of his Koran or Pnei Moshe. How come his face wasn't shining the first time he came down? So you can say it wasn't shining because they were dancing around the Egel, because of the Chet Ve'egos. But the usual answer that's given is no. The reason why his face was shining the second time around was because that's when the whole institution of the Torah Shabbat Peh began. So that's why the Torah Shabbat Peh was shining out of him. The first time around, the first plan was going to be, there wasn't going to be any Torah Shabbat Peh. Everything was going to be Torah Shabbat Chsav. So the Luchas was sparkling. There's nothing emanating from Moshe Rabbeinu. But the second time around, when he came down on Yom Kippur, so it was Koran or Pnei Moshe, because that's when he had this Torah Shabbat Peh which was in him, which wasn't the Biksav anywhere. And the Torah Shabbat Peh was radiating from him. So that's what Rav Shlomo Levilna suggests. That's what the Beis HaLevi elaborates upon. That the two Yamim Tovim that we have for Kabbalah Satorah, Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinuv, we celebrate the receiving of the Torah Shabbat Chsav. And Yom HaKippurim is celebrate the receiving of the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said in one of his drushes. He has it printed in one of his svarim. That maybe that's why in Parshas Achrei Mos there's a posik out of order. Rashi HaChumash quotes the Gemara Yom HaKolah Mikra Kulo Ksuva Lasei Dechutz Min HaMikra Zeh. There's one posik that's out of order. And if you do the Karbonis on Yom Kippur, the way it's described in the Chumash, you won't really be Yotzei properly, because the way it says in the Chumash, the Avodah is divided into three units. First, Big Day Zov, and Big Day Lovan, and Big Day Zov. And Halacha Moshe Messina says the Chamish Tfilas, Tevel, Ken Godal, Be'er Kippurim, has to switch to the Godin five times. The Avodah is divided into five units. So if you won't have the Torah Shabbat Peh, so you won't be doing the Avodah properly on Yom Kippur. And Gavala Soloveitchik has in his Sefer on Yuma that probably B'di'evah the Avodah will be kosher. Just you will not have fulfilled this Halacha Moshe Messina Chamish Tfilas Vasar Kiddushin. It'll be kosher. If you do the way it says in the Chumash, he thinks it'll be kosher. But still, there's a big chunk of Torah Shabbat Peh in connection with the Seder Avodah on Yom Kippur. So that's what some of the Chassidim Shesvarim write, that the minig always was in Europe by Chassidim, that after davening on Erev Yom Kippur in the morning, they would give honey cake. Why davka honey cake? Because the pasuk compares the Torah to Tvash V'cholav Tachas Lushayna. Torah is compared to milk and honey. So on Shavuos, the minig is that we have milchiks, because the Torah is compared to milk. And on Erev Yom Kippur, what are we celebrating on Erev Yom Kippur? What is the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Erev Yom Kippur is a yantav. What kind of a yantav? Some say the mitzvah is to eat even the night before Erev Yom Kippur. That's not going to help you prepare for the piss. Whatever you eat the night before Erev Yom Kippur is not going to help you for 24 hours later. So the answer is, some achreinim assume, the answer is, you're celebrating Kabbalah Satorah because the Gemara has a machlekes in Psochim. How should one observe Pesach and Sukkos? So on the one hand, it's a contradiction between two Pesukim, and we don't have a third Pesach that resolves the contradiction. On the one hand, the Pesach says, Atzeres Hashem Alakecha, you should dedicate the day to Torah and davening and learning and so on. Atzeres Hashem Alakecha. On the other hand, the Pesach describes it as Atzeres Tiyalachem, you should eat and drink and be merry. So which is it? So we have a midrash alter and midrashes from Shnei Ksuvim Amakrishim Zezat Shevakos Vashlishi Yachriya Beinei. So that we are familiar. What do you have Shnei Ksuvim Amakrishim Zezat? And there is no Kos Vashlishi Yachriya Beinei. How do you deal with that? So that's a machlekes Hatanaim, Reb Lezer and Reb Yishuv. So Reb Lezer says on this pasuk, O kula Lashem, O kula Lachem. You have an option. Either you have plan A or plan B. There are two ways to fulfill Atzeres, the mitzvah sesse of Yontif, either by eating and drinking and making, you have to daven every day of the year, so you have to daven on Yontif also, but you can be mekatzer the davening, and the rabbi should be mekatzer in his sermon, no long stories, and you should eat and drink and be merry all day long, have a good time. Or you should be mekatzer in the meals. You have a breakfast, lunch, and supper every day, so you have a tuna fish sandwich for breakfast, make Kiddush first, okay, Bekitzer, 1, 2, 3, and then dedicate the bulk of the day to learning and to davening. Dedicate the whole day. Okur l'Hashem, okur l'Hashem. And we don't accept Rabbi Lezer's opinion. We pass on like Rabbi Yeshua. Whenever you have Shnei Ksuvim, Ha'ochishim, Zezed, there is no Kosev HaShlishi, Shechri Ebeinayim, so we understand on our own, we have to make some kind of a compromise. We have to blend the two in together. So that's what Rabbi Yeshua says. We understand Chalkeu, Chetzi L'Hashem, Chetzi L'Hashem. Dr. Redden pointed out that you have such a similar machlokes in Brochus on Daf Lamed Hem, the base. One pasuk says, "V'hagisa b'yom v'aloyel." He's supposed to learn all day and all night. The other pasuk says, "V'asap to d'ganecha v'sirosh chavitzarecha." Supposed to make a living. So how can you learn all day and all night if you're busy making a living? And there is no kosev hashlishi she'achriya b'neim. So the accepted opinion is hanik v'minik d'archeretz, that you have to have yofet talmud torim d'archeretz. It's understood. You got to make a parnasa and you have to learn Torah and you have to balance the two together. You have to blend the two in together. And the other Tana disagrees and he says no. That Bizman Shosim Ritzana Shamlokam, he's supposed to fulfill the mitzvah by learning all day and all night, and other people will support you. The non-Jews will be supporting us. The American government will be, I don't know, who's going to be supporting us? I don't know. And the other pasuk that says, V'asaf to the ganach, B'sirosh, V'sirosh, that's Bizman Shosim Ritzana Shamlokam. But you don't blend the two in together on your own. And we don't accept that opinion. Just like by Yonta, we pass in Chetzi L'Hashem Chalkeu. Chetzi L'Hashem Chetzi L'Hashem. So to over here, whenever you have Shnei Ksuvim, Hamakrishim Zeh Zeh, and there is no Kosev HaShlishi, Shech Rei Meneyem, so we should understand on our own how you blend the two in together. So the Gemara says that Machlek is Rav Lezer Rebbe Yeshua, how one should observe Pesach and Sukkis, whether Chalkeu, Chetzi L'Hashem Chetzi L'Hashem, or like Reb Lezer says, Okul Hashem, Okul Lachem, that machlekes doesn't apply to Shavuos. Why? Shavuos is different. Everybody agrees you have to have elaborate meals because Shavuos is Yom Shenitnu Batur. The covet, the celebration, the commemoration of the receiving of the Torah, so you must have elaborate meals. So that's what the Mefarshim says on Yom, that's Reb Shlomo Levilna says on Yom Kippur. You have elaborate meals. You don't eat anything at all. So what do you mean? You're celebrating Kabbalah's Torah. Fine. Celebrating Kabbalah's Torah Shabbat Peh on Yom Kippur, and you don't eat anything. So Shlomo Levilna explains why to celebrate receiving Torah Shabbat requires that you should throw a party, and to celebrate receiving Torah Shabbat Peh requires that you should fast. So he gets involved in some explanation. But other Achranim say, no, that's exactly what the mitzvah to eat on every Yom Kippur is all about. We really want to eat the meals on Yom Kippur to celebrate Kabbalah Satorah. But you can't Yom Kippur, you have to fast. So that's why the Torah told us we should celebrate on Erev Yom Kippur by eating and drinking. And that eating and drinking is because of the Kabbalah Satorah. So that's what the minig was in Eastern Europe in the Chassidish communities. They used to have milchiks on Shavuos and they used to have honey cake. Can't have honey cake on Yom Kippur, you can't eat. But they used to have honey cake on Erev Yom Kippur. Al Shem HaPosik Dvash V'cholav Tachas L'Shoinech. So you have the Dvash on Erev Yom Kippur and you have the Cholav on Shavuos. They used to have a minig by the Chassidish Shtiblach. They still have it here in Shtiblach in America also. That the honey cake is purchased from the Pushkin, from the Tzedakah money. What kind of business is that? You're not allowed to take Tzedakah money. We're not on the Yom. So what are you taking Tzedakah money for? So they had a minig that in case it was Nigzar Min HaShemayim, that a person should have to be Nizon Min HaTzedakah, so you should be Yotze with this. Case on Rosh Hashanah was Nigzar that he should have to be supported from tzedakah money, so he should be yotze with this. Malikot l'kula, malikot l'pag. You don't have to suffer that. You should all year long. You should suffer from be supported by tzedakah. So you have your honey cake from the tzedakah money. So this is one suggestion that the Gemara gives, that the pasuk that says v'nisim esnaf shesech mitish alachodesh ba'erev. The simple pshuto shel mikra means they start fasting the night following Tisha L'Chodesh Be'er. But the Gemara saw here the way the pasuk is written in a very awkward fashion. The Gemara feels that it's alluding to something additional. So the Gemara has two suggestions. So the one, either you have one, you hold from one or you hold from the other. So the Gemara's first suggestion is that the pasuk is alluding to the mitzvah min haTorah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur.
Isn't one something about Hashem, about Shmiat Teres, and the other one about Pesach? Why do we have to say they're really arguing?
Maybe the different Yom Tovim are observed differently. I don't know. The Gemara assumes that they're all the same. Samachta v'chagecha goes on all the same. The Gemara has a hekesh between all the Moadim. All the Shalosh v'golim are observed the same. The Gemara has this svar, Yom Kippur, Shavuos has to be observed differently because Yom Shenitnu Batorah. But Pesach and Sukkot are in the same boat together.
I think I remember noticing. I thought the Mishnah Berurah brought the same pasuk with the Shalosh Be'erev to say that you need both. To say that you need both. Milkis, Shulchan Aruch says the mitzvah is of the Shabbos, so it's not different. By there, the Mishnah Berurah says we learn out from the Shalosh Be'erev.
Yeah.
And over here, by the Aaron Kippur, he says we learn out from the Shalosh Be'erev.
I don't know, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah presents it either A or B. Either you darshan this additional level of interpretation is either alluding to the fact that there's a mitzvah to eat, minatar, there's a mitzvah to eat the elaborate meals on Erev Yom Kippur that we accept based on the pasuk B'tish L'Chodesh Bo'erev. And then the other suggestion the Gemara gives is that this is the mocha for the din of Tosefes Yom Kippur. Then the Gemara says, well, what do you do if you learn that pasuk teaches you the din of eating meals on Erev Yom Kippur, so you don't believe in the institution of Tosefes Yom Kippur? The Gemara says, no, maybe it's learned that from other psukim. Maybe it's derived from the institution, the halacha Moshe Mesinai, of Tosefes Shviyas. Because the halacha Moshe Mesinai, you have to be Moisiv, Mechel HaKodesh, and Shnas HaShmit. But the Gemara seems to say it's either one or the other. The problem is that the Rambam paskins both. The Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and it's based on this pasuk. Then the Rambam paskins that Tosefes Yom Kippurim only applies to Yom Kippurim. It doesn't apply to Shabbos and Yom Tov at all. Many Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. They hold that this is not the mocker, or even if this is the mocker, but you extrapolate from here and you extend it to all the Zmanim Mekudoshim, there's a mitzvah lahos mechol HaKodesh on all the Yom Tov. But the Rambam's opinion is in Shulchan Aruch they say Yesh Omrim. In Hilchos Shabbos it says Yesh Omrim. There is an opinion that it's a mitzvah lahos mechol HaKodesh every Shabbos and every Yom Tov. Why do they say Yesh Omrim? It's a Gemara. The answer is because the Rambam only paskan lakeh for the Gemara. The Rambam is the one Rishon of paskans that the mitzvah of Tosefes is only by Yom Kippur and doesn't mention it all by Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the Pashtus and the Rambam is there are three opinions in Achrenim what the Rambam holds. But many Achrenim say the Pashtus and the Rambam is that the whole institution of Tosefes doesn't exist at all on Shabbos. Even if you will be, not only you're not mechuyif to be Moisiv, even if you will be Moisiv, it won't even be Chal Mid Rabbanon. Some say, you know, you're not mechuyif to be Moisiv, but if you're Moisiv, it's Chal Mid Torah. Others say, no, there's no marker for that, but if you're Moisiv, it's Chal Mid Rabbanon. And others say, the simple reading of the Rambam, on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, even if you're Moisiv, Mechol HaKadosh, not even Chal Mid Rabbanon. The only time there's an institution of Tosefes is Yom Kippur. Lefanehu Le'achre, there's a din of Tosefes. The Magen Mishnah writes on the Rambam that not only on Hilchos Shvisus Osar, he says, not only does the Rambam hold that the mitzvah of Tosefes, Mosif Mechol HaKadosh, is restricted only to Yom Kippurim, he says the simple reading of the Rambam implies that it only applies with respect to the Inuyim. To be Moisim Mechol HaKadosh with respect to the Inuyim, not with respect to the Yisra Malacha. The Markevus HaMishnah writes that he thinks that that's ridiculous. Markevus HaMishnah is a commentary on the Rambam. He always gives Pashup Pshat in the Rambam. The most bland, when you have the most complicated Rambam, he'll always give you the most bland Pshat in the Rambam. Very Pashup Pshat. And always give you a mocker. Where did the Rambam get it from? So he says, it's not from the Bavli, it's from the Yerushalmi. Okay, he always give you a mocker. Instead of giving a fancy mocker, because Tosis had a kasha, like the Lecha Mishnah goes, ooh, gagal gag. So the Mekevus HaMishnah always very flat, very bland. And a lot of times he hits the nail on that. His mom is a pshuto shal Rama. He gives you the Pasha Pshat Rama. So here the Mekevus HaMishnah disagrees with this Magen Mishnah. And he thinks that it doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? You're Moisim Mechoel Ala Kodesh and Yom Kippur only with respect to the Inuim, not with respect to the Malacha. It's one Kedusha Sayyam. That's Mechayiv in Inuim. And that's Mechayiv in Nisim Malacha. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to think. He thought like the Mekevus HaMishnah, not like the Magen Mishnah. How much do you have to Moisiv Mechoel Ala Kodesh? The Tosis in Beitzah, the Aflam and Amidala points out that from the Gemara there in Beitzah, from the whole discussion, it would appear that there is a Zman Mesuyim, not just a Mashu before Bein HaShmashas. Bein HaShmashas is Safi Gam Safi Klaila, that's not Tosefes. You have to be Moisiv some amount of time before the Bein HaShmashas. The Tosis admits they don't know what the amount of time is, but it would appear from the Gemara that there's some fixed amount of time, not Stama Mashu. So what could it possibly be? So the Paskin quote that the Rabbeinu Peretz on that daf. Now we have the Rabbeinu Peretz is printed, whoever wants. The years ago it was only a manuscript, so they quoted it. Now we have the Rabbeinu Peretz on Beitza, Daf Lamed and Alf, and some other Rishonim also write that the Zman of Tosefis is a half an hour, Samach. Samach li Yom Kippur, Samach li Shabbos, if you open to Sefer Shabbos, Samach li Shabbos. Now, Soloveitchik said he remembers, but he came from in Europe, they always used to bench licht on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Kippur 30 minutes before the Shkia, because they assumed, like the Vilna Gaon, that at Shkia, Bein HaShmashas begins, so they used to be Moisim Echayel HaLakadosh 30 minutes before. And on Erev Yom Kippur, they used to bench licht 60 minutes before. So he remembers as a child, he asked, Manish Tana, well, why are they Mekabal Tosefis Yom Kippur an hour instead of a half an hour? Half an hour is Samach. So they told him that it's a half an hour Tosefis for the Malacha and half an hour Tosefis for the Yinuyim. So he didn't understand what that means. He says, he thought the Merkevus and Mishnah is right, it's one Kedusha Sayayim that Asas ben Malacha and is Mechayiv to observe the Yinuyim. So what do you mean a half an hour for this and half an hour for that? The same half hour should be for everything. But he says that was the minig where he came from, that there used to be Moisim Echol HaKadosh and Erev Yom Kippur an hour before the Shkia. Not like Abayas in America, the people run into shul a minute before or 10 minutes after the Shkia. They're supposed to be Mekabel Kedusha Sayam. And the Erev Yom Kippur, everybody agrees, even the Rambam agrees. According to Rambam, the mitzvah of Tosefis is only on Yom Kippur. It doesn't apply to our regular Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Gemara quotes that the Tanoim made a special takana that you should daven mincha on Erev Yom Kippur and recite the vidui at the conclusion of the mincha before the Suda HaMafsekas. In America, you have people come to shul, so they start davening mincha right before the Shkia. What do you mean? What are they davening mincha? They should have davened mincha. They were busy in the office the whole day. And then they ran home. The last minute they ran home, they gobbled out a meal. Then they come to shul and they start davening mincha. Okay, so the Yotze, but then they haven't fulfilled the Takanas Chacham. The Chachamim insisted you should daven mincha before the Suda Mavsekes and recite the Vidui before. Why? The Gemara says, Shema Yared Dvar Kalkola B'Suda. They insisted you have to recite Vidui before because something may go wrong. What exactly? What's going to go wrong? So the Rishonim have different Pshatim there. So the Ramam, I think, learns Pshat. He may choke in the meal. He may die. It's rare. There's people, I know someone who died in the Suda Mavsekas, but I haven't heard too many other people die Suda Mavsekas. The Rambam is a strange pshat. The Ramban says, Pasha pshat, Shemi Yared Valka Kol B'Suda. He may get so involved in the Suda Mavsekas, he'll come to shul late and he'll just make it by the skin of his teeth and he won't be able to say Vidui on Erev Yom Kippur. And the Ramban says that's the premise of the whole Gemara, the last daf, next to the last daf in Yuma, that the Pasuk says, Lefnei Hashem Titaru. So the Ramban understands that the Gemara understood the Pasuk, the Gemara interpreted the Pasuk, Lefnei Hashem, before you enter into Yom Kippur, Titaru, you should purify yourselves. It's a mitzvah menator to recite Vidui on Erev Yom Kippur. So the mitzvah menator really is soon before, in Knesset Hayayim, as Yom Kippur is about to enter. The Chachamim were afraid, Shema Yared Val Kakola Besuda, something may come up, he'll have to diaper a baby, someone won't feel well, he'll want to eat the dessert, his wife will want him to help washing the dishes or something, so he may come to shul late, so he may not have a chance to sit. That's the whole Dvar Kalkola. I'm not afraid he's going to choke on a bone and die in the middle of Suda Mavsek. That's a little unrealistic. I remember there was one case, a famous rabbi died, choked in the Suda Mavsek. He wanted to show his father was known for Barefring Shver Rambam. So he wanted to show that the Rambam's plot was good. So he choked, he died in the middle of Sunamasa. Okay. Very unusual. So that's what the Ramban holds. That's what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shaloh HaKadosh, who says based on the Ramban that since the Ikar Zman to recite Vidui really is Erev Yom Kippur, Knesset Hayayim, Lefnei Hashem Titor. So even though the Tanoim moved it up earlier, the Tanaim said you should daven mincha and recite Vidui at the end of the mincha before the Suda Mavsekas. That's the correct way to go. But if you came to shul early enough to repeat Vidui again, so the correct practice is that one should repeat the Vidui after the Suda Mavsekas before Yom Kippur enters. That's why many of the Machzorim have a long Vidui from the Chayodam. That's called the Tfilah Zakka, a pure prayer. Or other communities, they just say Hashem Demagadna and they say Achet. They say the regular Vidui. This is because the Magen Avraham quotes this Shaloh who recommends that one should be machmer like this Ramban's opinion. Lefnei Hashem Tetora means before the Knesset Hayayim, one should purify himself by reciting Vidui. The Rosh at the end of Yuma quotes in the name of the Rav Sadie Goyen that on Erev Yom Kippur people have to go to mikveh and they should recite the bracha Shekedeshan b'metzos v'tzivano ala tefillah. So the Rosh doesn't agree. The Rosh understood the Rabbeinu Sadie Goyen as having meant that Chayiv Adam L'Tayir Atzma Baregel applies to Yom Kippur. The original Gemara, Chai Baram Taratzma Beregel, goes on Sholosh Regalim. That people have to be Oyla Regal to have to enter the Azara. So if you're going to be Tameh, you won't be able to enter the Azara. That's the Poshim Shad. That's what the Shagasaya writes. That the din of Chai Baram Taratzma Beregel doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh because no one is entering into the Azara. It's not Shaykh. No one can fulfill a mitzvah of Ali Oyla Regal. But there are those who understood otherwise. They understood Chai Baram Taratzma Beregel is not only in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ali Oyla Regal, to enter Yeroi Kol Skurcha, to enter the Azor and to bring the Karbonis, but it's an inyan that a person whose tameh cannot fully absorb the Kedushas Hayom of Yantav. Some say Shabbos is so, the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos is so powerful, even if you're tameh, the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos will have a proper effect on you. But the Kedushas Hayom of Yantav is not as powerful as that of Shabbos, and that's why the Gemara learns that from a pasuk, Chai Baram Taratzma Berek. You have to go to mikveh min haTorah, even on Erev Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, even bizman hazeh. So if you say like that, that the nature of the mitzvah has nothing to do with Aliyah LeRegel, Shagazari writes that it's all wrong, and you look in the Rambam, it's beferish, it only applies to Sholosh Golem. When you're LeRegel, bizman hamikdash doesn't apply bizman hazeh, that's all. That's if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, the last page in Chelek Hay, so the Shari Tshuva there quotes the Shagasari that it's all wrong, it doesn't apply bizman hazeh. But many, the Rosh understood in the Rabbeinu Sadigon that it applies to Sholosh Golem, and it even applies to Yom Kippur. Applies to Yom Kippur, so applies to Rosh Hashanah also. So the Rosh Tain is, how does he know that it's so? Maybe it's not correct. Others understand that the Rabbeinu Sadigon didn't mean that you should go to Mikveh Erev Yom Kippur because Chai Baram Taratzma Beregel, but rather because of the Pasuk Lefnei Hashem Tetor, same as the Ramban. That Lefnei Hashem means before the Knesset Hayom of Erev Yom Kippur, but rather than understand Tetoru in the sense of purify yourselves by reciting Vidui, the Rabbeinu Sadigan apparently understood Tetoru means to go to Mikveh. Yeah, if that's the way he understood, so he means that you have to go to a real kosher Mikveh, not some a Mikveh that's good for a Balkari. Ezra made a Takana, one of the Eset Takanas of Ezra. And the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama, so one of the Takanas was that a Balkari is not permitted to learn, not permitted to daven. So the Gemara says that in Brachis, in the end of the second parak, so the Gemara says that in the days of the later Tanoim, they repealed that enactment, they repealed that takana, that halokot vori ka'esh, ma'esh eni mekabel tumah, abdivetei eni mekabel tumah. So Balkari doesn't have to go to mikveh in order to learn Torah. So the Gemara never says explicitly, what about the Balkari with respect to davening? The Gemara just says, takana Ezra was repealed, Barabuda ben Meseir, in the later period of Tanoim, it was repealed with respect to learning Torah. But does the takana still apply with respect to davening or not? So that's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Raiva. So the Rambam writes that takana says it was repealed totally. It doesn't apply bizman hazeh. But he writes in the Mishnah Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can testify that I always go to mikveh. He was a closet chassid. Rambam says he always goes to mikveh before he davens. But if it was repealed, so what does he gain by going to mikveh? Well, it's choshish for the Raiva cheetah. What is it? So the Kes Mishnah has a long essay. So he says, whenever there's a takana that really made sense, and the reason why it's repealed because it was like Pashta Berov Yisrael, because it was too hard to observe, like over here, Tosfos says apparently they repealed it because it was like Pashta Berov Yisrael. But really, it should have been accepted. So then, the proper practice is that Chassidim Anshei Maaseh should observe that takana. So that's a Kesa Mishnah on the side of the Rambam and Hilchas Tvil. Why did the Rambam observe the Takana says with respect to davening if he says that they always repealed, that it was repealed totally? Because it really makes sense that we should go to Mikveh. And the Raivid disagrees with the Rambam. We don't have the Raivid in the Hasog as printed on the Raivid, but the Rosh in the back of Gemara Brochas quotes that the Raivid disagrees with the Rambam and holds that Takana says it was only repealed with respect to learning Torah, and with respect to davening, the din is still betok for bizman hazeh. One is not permitted to daven if he's a Balkari, unless he goes to mikveh first. So the Gemara Brochas says that with respect to Takana says that a Balkari is not allowed to daven, it doesn't have to be a kosher mikveh. It could be maim shuvim. It doesn't require all the rules and regulations. Shaila from chatzitzis. You don't have to be so makbid on all. You don't have to brush your teeth in advance. All the dinim, the rabbanon of chatzitzes don't apply. So that's a shaila. What's the going to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur all about? According to Rav Sadi Gaon, according to Leisam Interpret, it's a real din deraisa lefnei Hashem to Torah. Or according to the Rosh's understanding of the Rav Sadi Gaon, it's a chai varam taratz ma beregel. Also a din deraisa that even applies on bizman hazeh and even applies on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Not necessarily connected with Aliyah LeRegel. There is no Aliyah LeRegel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So if you say that pshat and Rav Sadia Gaon, if you say like Rav Sadia Gaon, then it's a mitzvah minatar. It has to be a kosher mikveh. But it's usually assumed that the idea behind going to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur is same Erev Rosh Hashanah. That on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I say, it's made tshuva, but we're machmer on more things. Like in Shulchan Aruch, they recommend that one should be machmer not to eat pas palter. All year long, we're mekel, that we eat pas palter, pas nochri, that's baked. There's exer de rabbanon, you're not allowed to eat pas sakum. So everybody's mekel to one extent or another. Ashkenazim are more mekel than the Svardim, that pas palter is muta. If it's a baker who bakes for the whole public, it's not my next door neighbor, but there's a real chashash of chastans. He begs for the public. We know it's kosher. And he begs for the public, so why should I fall in love with his daughter more than anybody else? A million people eat his bread. I don't even know who he is. I don't know who is. I don't know if he has a daughter. I don't know who it is, Bechlau. So why should I fall in love with his daughter? So all year long, we make along the paspalta, but it's really a kula. It's not a seres mei tshuva, or a shani yam kippur. We're machmer on that. We're machmer on all kinds of things. So that's what is usually assumed, that they're going to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, is because the Ravid's opinion is that a Balkari is never allowed to daven, and all year long we violate that. Only the Hasidim makbid for the Ravid Shita. So on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, v'choshish for the Ravid Shita. That's where it's usually assumed. If you say it like that, then it doesn't have to be a kosher mikveh. You don't have to have a hashoke to the kosher mikveh. You can have maim shuvim, it'll also be good enough. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a separate simen in Hilchos Erev Yom Kippur, based on Mishnayos in the last parak in Yuma, that Sheyafai Kodem is Chavera on Erev Yom Kippur. Everybody has to, everyone who ba'avled someone else. If I didn't ba'avle anybody, so why should I ask him apology? It doesn't make sense to ask apology if I didn't ba'avle him, but if I know that the person feels hurt because of something that I did, something that I said, so then you should be mefayis him by the time. You can be mefayis him before Erev Yom Kippur also. But you should at least be mefayis him on Erev Yom Kippur. What is that all about? So Rabbi Akiva says in the Mishnah, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Okay, the Mishnah quotes a person. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. So the simple pshat is that tikva, hatikva, the hope. We hope unto the Rabbi Shalom that we are relying on the Rabbi Shalom is going to take care of all of our problems, is going to forgive our sins. So Rabbi Kiva has an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a mikveh. Ma mikveh mitaris hatmei, ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaris Yisrael. So the Darshanim used to say in Europe, they have in the Sifri Hadrush, that if a person is tamei and he's tovel in a mikveh, you have to submerge the entire body. It has to be maim shekol gufo elu behem v'asachas. You have to submerge the whole body under the surface of the water simultaneously. You can't stick in one leg, then another leg, then one arm, then the other arm, then your head, then the body. You have to have the whole body has to be at once. So Yom Kippur is mechaper if it's either all or nothing. Either it's mechaper on all of your averes, or not mechaper on anything. So the averes ben olam la'malchus, we're going to say vidui, and Rabbeinu Shalom is going to forgive us. But if you have averes shebein olam la'chavero, and Yom Kippur can't be mechaper unless he mefayis his chavero, so then some claim Yom Kippur is not mechaper even the averes shebein olam la'malchus, if you're not mefayis his chavero. So you're going to lose your opportunity to get a mechila savoinas for the averes shebein olam la'malchus. So that's what some say. That's why Yeshivais averes shebein. That's what Rabbi Akiva says in the Mishnah also. As it say, ki beyom asei chapelechem tareschem mikol chataseichem lefnei Hashem titoru. So the Mishnah has a machlokes satanim. How do you punctuate the pasuk? Mikol chataseichem lefnei Hashem kama titoru. Any averes that you did lefnei Hashem averes shebein olam la'malchus Yom Kippur is mechaper. But he say no. Ki b'yom hazeh chapeh antares mikol chataseichem kama lefnei Hashem tetoru. So Rabbi Kiva says in the Mishnah, Asherechem Yisrael lefnei mi atem etarim mi mitareschem. Rabbi Kiva reads the pasuk lefnei Hashem tetoru. You will be purified in the presence of the Rabban Shalom. See, he pauses in reading the pasuk. Rabbi Kiva pauses in between the kol chataseichem, pause, lefnei Hashem tetoru is a phrase that goes together. And the other Tana, I forgot his name, the other Tana disagrees and he says no. Ki b'yam zeh chapelechem tareschem mikol chataseichem lefnei Hashem. Pause. Titor. That Yom Kippur is only mechaper and aver is bein olam la'malchus. Yom Kippur is not mechaper and aver is bein olam la'chavero. Ad she'iratz is chaver. You have to ask forgiveness from the other person. And that's what others suggest, that if you don't ask forgiveness, then Yom Kippur won't even be mechaper and the aver is bein olam la'malchus either. Chiddush. The Mishnah in Psochim, there's a perek in Psochim that's called Mokm Shenogim. So the Mishnah and the Gemara there talk about the minhagim. There are private minhagim, there are family minhagim, there are community minhagim, there are minhagim of Klal Yisrael. So the Mishnah says that the Mishnah lists all various minhagim. So hadlokas haneiros haneiros Shabbos, that's a takana by Mamadlikin. The whole second parak of Masechta Shabbos, the 24th parakim, the second parak is all about hadlokas haneiros haneiros Shabbos. And hadlokas haneiros haneiros Yom Kippur, the Mishnah says, depends on the minhag hamakom. Some times the minhag was that they would light candles, sometimes the meaning was they would not light candles. So the Gemara explains that Hadlokas Haneres Haner of Yom Kippur is totally unrelated to Hadlokas Haneres Haner of Shabbos. Hadlokas Haneres Haner of Yom Kippur, from the Gemara, would appear that it only applies to married people, doesn't apply to single people. And the reason why those communities had a meaning Bedavka yes to light and the other communities had a meaning Bedavka not to light is because one of the Chamisha Inuim is Tashmish Amito. So if he has a candle on in the bedroom, if the lights are on, so it's also the shamish mitosala or on there. So this will prevent them from violating this one of the chamisha inuit. And the minig of the other mekamis was just the reverse. If he sees how good looking his wife is, he may get carried away with himself and violate the inuit. So that's why bedavka, they didn't have any lights on. They didn't light any candles on Erev Yom Kippur. So you shouldn't see his beautiful wife. In order not to violate the inoy of Tashmish Amita. So because it's a matter that's totally in the minig, it's not a takana, so that's why there's a question, does it make sense to recite a brocha? Asher kiddushana b'mitzvah yisabit zivanu makes sense on a mitzvah deraisa, even makes sense, the Gemara says, on a mitzvah midirabbanon. The Gemara has in Rama Madlikin a connection with Hadlokas Neris Chanukah. So the Gemara says that you recite a brocha on Hadlokas Neris Chanukah kiddushana b'mitzvah zivanu. So the Gemara has the whole discussion. Hechan tzivanu, it's only a din midirabbanan. How can you say Hashem Elokeinu kitshana v'tzivanu on a mitzvah midirabbanan? So the Gemara says it also fits in. You can recite a bichas hamitzvah on a mitzvah that's only midirabbanan. But does it make sense to recite a bichas hamitzvah on something that's only a minhag? So that's a famous machlokes, the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim. Chatzi halil, that's recited on Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says it's only a minhag. It's not even a takana midirabbanan. The Gemara says, Rav Iklil Lebovel, Rav learned by Rav Yudah Nasi for many years in Eretz Yisrael, and then he came from Bovel, then he went back to Bovel, and he came to Shul, the first Rosh Chodesh, and the Balabatim was saying Halal, and he didn't know what was going on. He thought they made a lot of mistakes. They were violating Hilchos Basa B'Cholov. They violated a lot of the many laws of Shabbos. They were Mezalzel and many Dinim. That's why he had to move the Balabatim. He had to make a lot of Xeris, the Rabban, and teach a lot of Torah. The Gemara says, Rav Biko Matzo Begoda Bogedim. When Rav came to Babel, it was like the Wild West. Open, Wild West, everybody was violating everything. So he had a Begoda Bogedim. He had to put up fences and he had to get the people to be more observant. So he learned with the Balabatim and he elevated the level of religious observance in the whole community there. Rav and Shmuel, they both came at the same time to Babel. They were marbid stir because the people were violent. So he came to Shul, the first Rosh Chodesh, he was saying Chatzi Hal, he didn't know what was going on. So then when they started to skip, then he realized there must be that he was going to tell the Chazan to stop. Sovel HaSekinu, the Gemara said, he was going to tell them that they should stop saying Halal. The Gemara in the end of times. So then when they started to skip, so then he realized there must be it's a minik, so he let them continue. So that's what Tosfos in Brachos and in other Masechtos, Tosfos has this big machlekes. Does it make sense to recite a bracha when you recite the Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh? It's not even a din derabbanan. It's only a minhag. One is the Gemara in Nidorim Daf Tezvavim and Aleph sounds like it says one is obligated to observe a minig. Minig is binding mitam neder midirabbanan. So that's a Taisa says okay. So it's a mitzvah midirabbanan. It's a mitzvah midirabbanan to fulfill the minig toif. So you recite a bracha, just like you recite a bracha on a din derabbanan, on a mitzvah derabbanan. So you recite a bracha on a minik toiv, because the Gemara in the Dorm says that minik toiv is binding mitam nedim and the rabban. The Rambam understood that Gemara differently. The Rambam seems to have understood the Gemara in the Dorm. The Rambam has a tshuva, where he spells it out explicitly. But even you look in the Mishnah Torah, he never says what Toiv says. The Rambam in the tshuva explains, minik toiv, one is permitted to observe a minik toiv, just like one is permitted to observe a neder. And the Gemara says a neder is really a bit of a problem because it smacks from Bal Tosif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 613 mitzvahs min HaTorah, so we're not supposed to add on additional mitzvahs. So accepting a neder upon oneself should really constitute an issue. It should be a problem of Bal Tosif. But strictly speaking, is not. The pasuk says that there is an institution of neder mishvah. It is binding. So just like neder smacks from bal taisif, but strictly speaking, is mutter. The Gemara recommends that you should always be mata neder. If you take a neder, it's as if you built a bama bisman isa bama, which is not permissible, and you should really be mata neder. And if you're not mata neder, kala mekaimo. If you leave your neder, if you leave the net, then you don't go to a bezin to be mat. Kilu hikriv olav, as if you built a bama b'shasis a bamas, and you are makriv shchut echutz, which is an isakar. So it's ki'ilu, but it's not really. And the Chumash it says you're allowed to take a net. It's frowned upon. The Chachamim frown upon taking the dharma because it's as if you're adding on an additional mitzvah. That's what the Mesillas Hashoyim quotes the line from the Talmud Yerushalmi, recommending that you shouldn't accept any nedarim. So the Yerushalmi has an expression, Lo dayecha ma she'asru alecha Torah, not enough. You already succeeded in observing all the 613 mitzvahs. Ashata asru alecha dvarim hamutarim. You'd have to take a neder to ask them more things. Stick to the 613 mitzvahs, keep them. So it's frowned upon to take nedarim. But nonetheless, it's not a violation. So the Rambam understood the Gemara to say that a minig is mitam neder. It never said minig is mitam neder. The Rambam understood that just like a neder is not really a violation of Bal Tosif, so if a person has minhagim, it's also not a violation of Bal Tosif. Even though it should have been Bal Tosif, it's not. So according to the Rambam, there is no such halacha that a minig is binding mitam neder midrabbanan. That's the simple reading of the Gemara in the Nedarim says like that, like Taisus understood. That's in Yeridei, a whole siman, Reish Yudala, the beginning of Hilchus Nedarim. So it says minig is binding, minig toiv is binding mitam neder midrabbanan. But the Rambam holds that it's not binding. So according to the Rambam, you don't say a bracha when you fulfill a minig. So the Rambam holds that when you say chatzi yavu, Arish Chodesh, you don't say a bracha. When you light neris on Erev Yom Kippur, you don't say a bracha either.
Only
Sfardim follow the Mechaber and they don't say bracha when they fulfill a minik or when a woman volunteers a mitzvah says in Shazman Groma also. So some Rishonim put these two together. So the Sfardim, again, follow the Ram, no bracha is beside. In Ashkenazim usually follow the Rabbeinu Tam who says, no, you can say a bracha on a minik and you can say a bracha when the woman volunteers to fulfill a mitzvah says in Shazman Groma.
It's only for Tashmashah.
What do you say?
The candles are only to prevent tashmish. So right. We also light the candles there in the kippur.
In the dining room also. You may as well have the house lit up too.
Okay.
The ikir, apparently there never was a takana, like on Erev Shabbos, there was a takana to light the neiros. So the ikir takana apparently was because you're going to eat lior on there. So there is a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. What if I'm going to eat somewhere else? Does it make sense? Can I say a bracha on Hadlokas Neiros Shabbos? On Neiros Shabbos, if I know I'm not going to eat here, I'm going to come back after the meal. I'm going to come back and get anor from the Neiros, but I'm not going to eat here. So that's a machlekes. And we in Shulchan Aruch, we pass on like the Maharil that you can say a bracha on Hadlokas Neiros on Neiros Shabbos, even though you're not going to eat it. But he brings the rye from Yom Kippur. Very questionable, right? He says, on Yom Kippur, you say, Bracha Lavik Nesha Yom Kippurim, even though you're not going to eat the Aron there. Yom Kippur is a whole different story. So God's in a different reason. His rye is very questionable, but that's how we paskin. Yeah, so even though we paskin, you say, Bracha, even though you're not going to eat the Aron there. But the Ika Takana was to light B'mokam Achila in order that he should be Nena the Aron there when he eats the meal. So just like on Erev Shabbos, we light in the Mokam Achila, so on Erev Yom Kippur also be light, in the place where we usually light. But the Iker of the Hadlok on Erev Yom Kippur should really be in the bedroom for the married people. For the single people, you probably don't say a bracha, not married. So the whole minig does not apply. In Shulchan Aruch, they have a separate inyan of wearing a talis on Yom Kippur. When we put on a talis, balayla, there's a machlekes, but you say a bracha on it, because it's a ksus yom balayla. So the Rambam's opinion is that Laila is potter from tzitzis. So the Rambam holds you can't say a bracha if you put on the talis by Laila. Hashem can't taste this in the Rosh Hol. Then it's not a din that Laila. It's not a din like a lulav and shofar. The mitzvah is only by yom. It's not by Laila. According to taisus, the din is that pajamas are potter from tzitzis. A beged Laila, ksus Laila is potter. But a ksus yom that you happen to wearing by Laila, you happen to be wearing by Laila, according to the Rosh and the taisus, would be chayv in tzitzis. So that's why it's on Shulchan Aruch. You should always avoid putting on a beged shel tzitzis balayla, because it'll be a machlekes, but you say a bracha not. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that one does the atifas atalis. You should do the atifas atalis mebod yom before the shkia, so there won't be any shalom regarding the bracha. What's the special deal of putting on a talis? We never put on a talis for ma'ariv. Why should you put on a talis? Apparently there's a separate inyan to wear a talis on Yom Kippur. Soloveitchik thought that more correct practice is that even single people should also wear a talis. It's very problematic why in Eastern Europe they had such a minhag that the single people didn't wear a talis. So he used to recommend, unless it's a clear-cut minhag in your family, that bedavke, he thought that most families have a minhag that you're not matriach single people to wear a talis, but it's not that there's a minhag bedavke, you shouldn't wear a talis. He thought the Rambam, single people should also wear a talis. But even if you have such a minhag, the dafkin, not to wear a talis, he thought on Yom Kippur, even the single people should wear a talis. You look around the yeshiva, that's not the common practice all over the world. The single people don't wear a talis all year long. They don't wear a talis on Yom Kippur either. But we assume there is a special inyan in wearing a talis on Yom Kippur. What is it all about? So it's usually assumed because Yom Kippur, we're going to say Yud Gimel Midah so often. You're going to say so many times the slichas. And there is a machlokes in the Ge'onim. Not the Ge'onim from the days of the Ge'onim, Rav Sadia Ge'onim. The Ge'onim Basroi from the 1700s. From the 1700s. To have the Tshuvas, the 1600s. Tshuvas Ge'onim Basroi from the Bach, from the Marsho. So that collection of Tshuvas. So they had a big machlokes whether reciting Yud Gimel Midah constitutes a Dovah Shebikdusha or not. To recite a Dovah Shebikdusha, you have to have a minyan. You can't say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch without a minyan. And we usually insist on reciting a Dovah Shebikdusha Ba'amida. And also we insist on having atifa, that a person should have his head covered when he recites Kaddish Kedusha Baruch or Dovah Shebikdusha. So that was a big machlokes whether one can recite Yud Gimel Midah's Vyatidus or not. Whether reciting of the Yud Gimel Midah constitutes the Dovah Shebikdusha or not. So that they put the Chuvas and the Ge'onim, they put these three Nafkaminas together. We are Machmet to treat Yud Gimel Midah like the Dovah Shebikdusha. So whenever one daven slichas b'yichidus, he leaves out the Yud Gimel Midah. So when we do recite the Yud Gimel Midah, so we insist on having Amida, you should stand, because the Dovah Shebikdusha requires Amida, and also you should have Atifa. So that's usually assumed to be the reason why we are more insistent of wearing a talis on Yom Kippur. Even by Ma'ariv, you wear a talis. Even though year long, you don't wear a talis by Ma'ariv, because we plan to recite the Yud Gimel Midas, and you need atifa b'shas Yud Gimel Midas, because we follow that opinion that the reciting of the Yud Gimel Midas constitutes a Dovah Shebikdusha. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that there's a Me'iri in the end of Masechus Shabbos who has a different twist as to why we are so medaktik. Why would more medaktik to wear a talis on Yom Kippur? On a normal Shabbos, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos, there are four mitzvahs to be observed on Shabbos. Two in Chumash, and Shnayim Shenis Parshal Ayidei Hanavim. You have Zochar V'Shamar, the two that appear in the Chumash, and then Kibud V'Yoneg appear in the Sefer Yeshayah. The Karas of the Shabbos Oneg, the Dosh Hashem Mechubad. So Kibud V'Yoneg. So Oneg means Achilu Shtiyo, Tashma Shamit, a person enjoys Shabbos, and Kibud. Some assume that kibbutz means that you wear fancy begodim, other things that other than physical pleasure. So the Gemara comments on that pasuk. The Gemara in the end of Shabbos comments on that pasuk in Yeshaya. Karas of the Shabbos onig l'kdosh Hashem mechubad. L'kdosh Hashem mechubad is a phrase that's referring to Yom Kippur. Why do you think? Why does Gemara think that that's an allusion to Yom Kippurim? So the Gemara said because neshein v'lo achila v'lo shtiyo. So that's why you have to have l'kdosh Hashem mechubad. What does it mean? So the Miri comments on that Gemara. On a normal Shabbos Niyanta, when you have kibbut and you have oneg, so you have a little kibbut, you have a little oneg. On Yom Kippur, you can't have any oneg. You don't eat. All the inuyim are prohibited. Tashma Shambita, Achilu Shti, everything is prohibited. So you should double up on the kibbut. Since you can't fulfill oneg, so you should have extra kibbut. So the Miri says that maybe that's the reason why many communities, they only wear kittel on Yom Kippur. Many communities, they wear kittel Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Makes them put us in a more serious mood. But in other communities, the minhag is you only wear kittel on Yom Kippur, and you only wear talis all day long. You wear talis by Ma'ariv on Yom Kippur, and by Mincha and by Neili, you wear talis all day long. That's because we want to emphasize the kibbud, because there's a lack of onik. Whenever you're not able to fulfill onik, so you should have extra kibbud. The Gra has a different definition of what's kibun and what's on. Yeah. The Gra defined that's at the end of Hilchos Yontif. So the Gra defines that kibud refers to the preparations that one does in advance of Shabbos and Yontif. And onig is the fact that he's wearing the bigodim on Shabbos and on Yontif, that's the onig. So this interpretation that the Miri gives is based on the assumption, like the Aruch HaShulchan writes, not like the Gra, that wearing fine clothing on Shabbos is a mitzvah of kibud. Eating a physical pleasure is onig. And enjoying the rest of the atmosphere of Shabbos, that's kibbutz. Right? It's not like the Gra. The Chamisha Inuyim, the Mishnah spells out. One of them is Nilus HaSandal. You're not allowed to wear shoes. What is the definition of a shoe? Al pi halacha, how do you define a shoe? What do you mean? How do you define a shoe? My nafkamina is a din of chalitza. If a man is married and he dies leaving no children, no descendants, so his wife has to have chalitza. V'chotza nala mi'al raglo. She has to take off the shoe from the right foot of the yogam. So what's the definition of a shoe? So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, whether shoes, whether something that protects, a pair of socks is not considered a shoe, because it doesn't protect. If someone steps on your, if you're walking around in your socks, and someone steps on your foot, it's going to hurt. But if you're wearing sneakers, so the sneakers will protect your foot. So that's a machlekes satanai. Mm-hmm. What's the definition of a shoe? A shoe means something that's megan. Or a shoe has to be megan, but it has to be leather. Mechatesa, why should it have, why does it have to, what's wrong if it's a wooden shoe? Why does it have to be dafke leather? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yecheskel. The Navi Yecheskel is describing its Yis Mitzrayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of all of the needs of the Jewish people, like a mother takes care of the baby when the baby is born. So first they tie up the umbilical cord, and then they wash the baby off, then they diaper the baby, they powder the baby, they smear the baby with oil, and they dress him up and everything, and they comb his hair if the baby has hair, and so on. So it says, as the baby's developing, the mother loves her child, and she takes care of it, and olach tochash. And I put on leather shoes on you, just like a mother with the parents love their little children, so when the child is old enough to start walking, so they get him a pair of leather shoes. A baby that's just born doesn't walk yet, so he doesn't need any shoes. But when the baby's up to walking, so then you buy leather shoes. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of all the needs of the Jewish people in the Midbar. So the Gemara says, "Ve'en olach tachash, I put on a nal made from tachash. Tachash is orest choshim. That was the hide that they got from the tachash animal that was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says it didn't exist in later generations. The tachash animal was only, the whole animal was Ohi Rasha. The whole animal only existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Gemara said we have a tradition that it was a kosher animal because they made they used the hides from the tachash for the roof of the Mishkan. So it has to be kosher. So the Gemara learns out from that, one time learns out from that pasuk that it has to be, in order to be considered a nal, ben olech has to be tachash, has to be from leather. So with respect to chalitza, we are machma, we wouldn't permit the yevama to do chalitza by taking off the sneaker from the right foot of the yavam, or a wooden shoe, we wouldn't be makel on a wooden shoe. We mean it has to be dafke leather. But doesn't necessarily mean that we would be makel on Yom Kippur also, on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av there's an Isa midrabbanon of Nilus HaSandal. Midlav Shiva Rachmana Letzlan, one is an Avelu Shiva, so also there's a din of Nilus HaSandal. So the common practice is that we say Bein L'Hokal Bein L'Hachman, not only for the purpose of Chalitza, that we adopt that position that only leather is considered a nal, even L'Hokal we say, anything other than leather is not considered a nal. But not all of Rishayim agree. You can always rely on the Balamor to come up with some new way. So the Balamor says, no, he thinks that we should pass him that wooden shoes are also good, and sneakers are also considered shoes, whatever is megan, whatever protects the foot. Socks don't protect the foot, but whatever protects the foot is considered a shoe. So fine, we're not maker like the Balamor with respect to Chalitza, but there's room to be machma with respect to Yom Kippur. So that's a question. They quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon that he recommended that one Yom Kippur could be its deraisa. The Rambam Shita seems to be that all the Chamisha Inuyim are deraisa. Tosfos thinks the Chamisha Inuyim are only midrabbanan, because they only have kares if you violate Achilu Shtia. If you violate the other Inuyim, there's no kares. So this leads the Rabbeinu Tam to believe that the other Inuyim are only midrabbanan. But the Rambam seems to hold that, so the Rambam holds that they're all deraisa. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. You may be dealing with an issue deraisa, so how can you rely lahakel? And those Rishonim who say that anything other than leather doesn't count. So So you thought you should be machmir.
What if something's only really making half your foot? Say it's making thicker on the bottom and thinner on the top. So on the top it's like a sock, on the bottom it's like very thick. So you'll walk on the ground and you'll be okay.
Strictly speaking, the Gemara says it has to be Megan Ruch. It has to be Choyfes Roiv HaRegel. It has to be Choyfes means Ata. Also Roiv HaRegel. Strictly speaking, it's probably Muta. If it only has on the bottom, it doesn't have on top. Wouldn't recommend it, but it's probably Alpidin, it's probably Muta.
I have the same question. It's all the other things that are the Pasal Yashiv from Chalitza, Sabina. Questions.
Rabbi Natan holds it has to be kosher leather. Before Hashem we spoke to Rabbi Natan holds it has to be leather from a kosher animal. So that's only because chalitza is a mitzvah. And Yom Kippur is not going to say that all the shoes that we have are horse leather. We're not going to say you're allowed to wear our shoes on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Natan only meant it has to be because tachash is a kosher animal. So he says for chalitza purposes, he holds it has to be kosher animal. But horseshoe. Horse leather shoes, I'll be pashtus, even I'll be in a Talmud degree, or may not be one on Yom Kippur.
Let's say, like, when
a
person's knee, you got a leather shoe,
that
like a big boot.
Nah, no. That's, no. By chalitza, you have to tie it. You have to tie it on the regal. So if you tie it too high, then it's no good. A chalitza shoe doesn't have any lining, you don't want to have any chatzitza. But over here, even if you have a chatzitz, it's still called a nal. By chalitza gufa, it's still called a shoe. But you don't have any lining because you don't want to have a chatzitz between the leg and the foot. Those are special dinner by chalitza. Everybody comes to shul. And after the suda mafsek, everybody repeats again. If you have time, you put on your talis, say the bracha b'kol yom. And then you repeat the vidui. And then the chazan starts, b'shivish al-mayla, b'shivish al-mata. The Gemara says increases that Taina Sibur they say in Yiddish folklore, they say Sibur is a Rosh Tevis Tzadikim Beinanim and Rishoyim. A Taina Sibur you have to have Rishoyim also. You're just going to have Tzadikim, it's not called a Taina Sibur. So the Gemara has such a lashon called Taina Sibur Shein Bo Miposhe Yisrael ain't a Taina Sibur. The Gemara says, how do you know you have to be Mechaber with the Rishoyim? Because in the Ketores you have Chelbina, which didn't have a good smell. So how come the Ketores smelled good? Because it was bottle. You had all the other samanim. It was good. So why did the Ribbono Shel Olam command us to mix in Chelbina? To indicate that you have to have, you have to sometimes be mishtatef with the Rishoyim also. That's where there's a famous marsha in the Chiddush Yagod and that Gemara that Mincha Saloza likes very much. Mincha Saloza was always fighting with all those whom he considered Rishoyim. So he quotes his Masha there, that the Masha says that's why he needed 11 Samamanim, because the Rosh can't be mitzvah to the Minyan. Mm-hmm. So you have to have 10 Tzadikim, and then you have the 11th one as the Rosh. Okay. So that's why, even if they had a Cherem, not to allow the Rosh to come to Shul to Daven, but Erev Yom Kippur, you have to be Mata that Cherem. So we make B'Shiv Shalmat, B'Shiv Shalmat, Adamatim L'Spalim, Avrayonim, that it should be considered a Taina Sibur. So everybody's gonna, we're gonna allow the Bali Avera to come to Shul on Yom Kippur. Then you recite Kol Nidre.
Can they join the minyan or by the Mincha Saloza?
If they're really in Cherem, the din is that you can't be mitzarif them to a minyan.
If you're mata, meaning in Yom Kippur.
If you're mata, then the Cherem, so that you can be mitzarif them to the minyan too?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then you recite Kol Nidre. The old Nusach of Kol Nidre always used to be L'Sha'ova. They used to be matted in a dorm that would take them Yom Kippur Sha'avar a Yom Kippurim Hazeh. And then the Rabbeinu Meir, the son-in-law of Rashi, and the father of the Rabbeinu Tam, the Rashbam, was the older brother of the Rabbeinu Tam. His name was Rabbeinu Shmuel ben Meir. The father of Rabbeinu Meir was also Talmid Chacham, the son-in-law of Rashi. So the Rabbeinu Meir, the father of the Rabbeinu Tam, but the Rabbeinu Tam, they insisted you have to change the Nusach of Kol Nidre. Has to be Lahabo. That's in the Birim Ba'amachzeh, that's how it says. We're not matin Nidorim Lahabo. We're making a declaration any Nidorim Meshvuas and Charamas that will take Yom Kippurim Zeh, Ad Yom Kippurim Habo Leinu L'Toyva till next year should be null and void. This is based on the Gemara. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam and the father Rabbeinu Meir said. This is based on the Gemara in the Dorim. Oh, it says in the Birim Ba'amachzeh, Rabbeinu Meir, Rashi son of law. Change the original wording of the Kol Nidre, based on the passage in the Gemara. he doesn't quote. Here he says, Gemara Nedarim 23b. The Gemara says you should get up in the beginning of the year and make a declaration that any Nedarim Mishwas that I take in the course of the coming year should not be valid. We don't rely on that because there's so many different opinions in the Rishonim, whether it helps only if you forgot about the fact that you said this Mesiris Nedar. It only helps if you remembered it. So it's always going to be a machlokes, but we do, as it says in the Gemara. So the Rabbeinu Tam changed it. The Chayyodam recommends that you should combine the both nuskos. You should make Hataras and Darm Neshoavar, and make the Mesiris Maidor Lahabo. So he has, you say, Kol Nidre Ve'asore, that I took in the past, Miyam Kippurim Shabbat, Yom Kippurim Hazeh, and then in the Darm that I will take in the future, Miyam Kippurim Hazeh, Yom Kippurim Ba'alein Alataiva, we're making a Mesiris Maidor, that they should all not be valid. Because the old Nusach always was that Kol Nidre is a Hataras and Darm on Neshoavar, and to be Mataneda, you have to have a Beznam Shloisha Hediotis. We don't have a Yochid Mumche. We don't have such an outstanding Talmud Chacham should be able to be Mataneda Yechidi. So we always require Shloisha Hediotis. So that's why you have to have two people standing next to the Chazan when he recites Kol Nidre. And then also the Gemara says in the end of Nidorim, towards the very end of the Masech, that you're only permitted to be Mataneda on Shabbos and Yontif if the heter of the Nidorim is relevant for today. Let's say the man took a net and not to eat the chicken and not to eat potatoes, and his wife is serving potatoes with chicken on Shabbos, so he can't eat it. So it's going to ruin his Shabbos, it's going to make a whole fight with his wife. He can't eat any food because he took a neder. So such a neder, he can be matar on Shabbos because it's relevant for Shabbos. But if he took a neder, he's not going to go to the bar mitzvah that's next month, so it's not relevant today on Shabbos. He can't be, you're not allowed to be matar such a neder on Shabbos. So because we're saying Kol Nidre v'matar all in the Dorm L'Shabbos that we took in the course of the past year, you have a bezn of three, the two people standing next to the chazan, with the chazan is the bezn of three. So that's why you have to recite the first, the meaning is that you say Kol Nidre three times. Why do you say three times? Because it says in Yerideya that Het and Adorim Porchim Buavir Ve'en Lehem Al-Meshe Yismoch. Hataras and Adorim is not in Torah Shebechsav at all. It's purely Torah Shebalpeh. Het and Adorim Porchim Buavir means it was transmitted from generation to generation orally. They said it over, like Allah HaMashe Messina. And it's not based on any drosha from the Psukim. That's how the Mishnah says. The Gemara there quotes Tanoim who disagree, the end of the first parak in Chagiga, and the other Tanoim and Amoraim do darshan out from Psukim, that there is an institution of Hataras and Adorim. But the Mishnah presents a different opinion. It's not based on any drosha, it's purely Halach HaMoshe Messinai transmitted from generation to generation. So that's why the Karaim never accepted the Hataras and Adorim. Hafaras and Adorim, that the father and the husband can be made for the Nidre Bito, Nidre Ishto. That's Psukim and Chumash. So that our meaning is that we don't do. That says in Yerideh, the Shach in Yerideh, right? Meaning that we never rely on Hafaras and Adorim, because Hafaras and Adorim is restricted only to Nidorim Shebeno Lebeno, Nidre in the Nefesh. And there's so many conditions in the Mishnayos, the last two prokim in a dorm, they make it so difficult. So you never know whether you come and go. You never know. Is it called Dina Nefesh? Is it not called Dina Nefesh? Is it called Beno or Beno? So we leave alone Hafara. So we always go the route of Hataras and Dorm. So because Hataras and Dorm is purely Torah Shabbat Peh, and there were those Karoim who didn't accept the Torah Shabbat Peh, so that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes, when the Bezin does Hataras and Dorm, they should say three times, Mutalach, 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 the emphasis to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's why we say Kol Nidre three times. The original meaning was Kol Nidre, it was recited L'Sha'ovar, so you say three times. But strictly speaking, once you said it once, so the Neder is already Mutah. The second and the third time is only for emphasis. So that's why it says in the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch, that the Chazan should try to finish the first Kol Nidre Mibod Yom before the Shkir. Because it's not right to be Matan Adorim on Yom Kippur, that are not really Litzarach HaYom.
Who says that Adam wants to say three times?
That says in Yerideh. When you're Matan Nidre, it says three times.
Not for the Torah Shabbat.
The Vilna Gaon has been signed the Mishnah in, I don't think it's the Vilna Gaon, he probably got it from the Beis Yosef, but signed the Mishnah in Menachos. That it says the Tzedukim is Mambai Sheni, didn't interpret the Pasuk according to the tradition. The Pasuk says you should start counting Sfira Seimer Mimachar Sashabbos. So the Tzedukim said that Sfira Seimer always begins on a Sunday and the Sfira Seimer is always on Matzoi Shabbos, Leil Matzoi Shabbos. And the Chachamim said it's not true. Sometimes the Sfira Seimer was on Leil Shabbos. Sometimes the Havo Seimer was on Shabbos. It's any day of the week. Mechas HaShabbos means the first day of Chalamai Pesach. It doesn't mean always on a Sunday. So the Mishnah says when they would have Kitzira So'aymer, not on a Matzoi Shabbos, So they would make it with big fanfare, and they would have big crowds would gather together, and the Shliach Bez and would say everything three times. Should I cut the Yomer? They would scream out, yes, even though today is Shabbat. Should I cut the Yomer? So they would repeat everything three times to emphasize that we follow the tradition of the Torah Shebal Peh. So that's what the Vilna Gaon, his Mitzayin, probably says in the Mishnah, that that's why we say HaTorah's Norm three times, because HaTorah's Norm is purely known, only known through the Torah Shebal Peh.
It's interesting that that was the simon for Shalom Aleichem also. The scare of the Tzedukim by the Kiddush HaChadosh. Also he said it three times, Shalom Aleichem.
No, the Gemara says the sin was that they said Dov Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayo. And then the Mefarshim say, so after the Bizman HaTanoim, Bizman Ba'ishena, there were Tzedukim who wanted to throw off kilter the whole system of Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Hariyah. So when the Chachamim saw that they have these people who are fouling up the whole system, so they refused to accept testimony from witnesses unless they knew that they were religious Jews who were testifying honestly that they really saw the moon. So the Gemara says they used to have a secret code in case, if the Bez knows you, so they know you. In case they don't know who you are, so if you knew the secret code, so then they would accept your aid. So the Gemara says at one time the secret code was that you say, Dovim Melech Yisrael Chavikayim. So the Mefarshim say, once he said Dovim Melech Yisrael Chavikayim, then the three members of the Bez would give him their hand and would say Shalom Aleichem. So that's what we have in meaning, that we say three times Shalom Aleichem after Dovim Melech Yisrael Chavikayim. I don't think the simon was to say Shalom Aleichem three times. I don't think they said Dov Melech Yisrael Chavikayim three times. They said it
That's
once.
That's just our meaning?
Our meaning we say three times. Yeah. We say Shalom Aleichem three times, corresponding to the fact that the three members of the Bezin would greet the aid after they knew that he was a bona fide Orthodox Jew, not for the Katat Tzedukim. So then they would accept his testimony. So then they would greet him and say Shalom Aleichem.
Why did the Kondite go louder and louder?
Yeah, I think that minig developed during the Spanish Inquisition, I think they say, when they were killing the Jews, so they would be screaming. So I think the minig developed that you scream Kol Nidre with a scary sound, a scary voice, to be reminiscent of those times. Not sure. I think so. Got to look in the Birnbaum Machzor. What does it say? Professor Birnbaum was once going on the train, on the A train. So there was a woman from Broyes that was sitting next to him. So he struck up a conversation with her. So he said, do you ever hear the Birnbaum Machzor? So she says, no. He said, my name is Philip Birnbaum. She didn't register. She never heard of him. He said, you ever hear the Birnbaum Machzor? No. She daven's in Broyes. She never heard of him. So he had to convince her that there's such a thing as the Birnbaum Machzor, and he's the one who put it out. Didn't register even after the whole explanation. The woman is my next door neighbor. I'm Bennett Avenue. She wasn't as spoiled from Professor Birnbaum. Yeah, why did we start off the day with Kol Nidre? The way the old minig was that it's HaTorah Sdorim. What does that have to do? So it's in many Machzorim they have a passage from the Zohar that people recite beforehand that brings out this point that the Hafara, the Gemara says, when the father or the husband is made for the Neder, it's only Megas guys Mikana Lahabor. The Neder was binding up until the time that they were made for it. And after the Hafara, Mikana Lahabor, it's no longer binding. As opposed to HaTorah Nedarim, the Gemara says in Ksubis that HaTorah Nam Chocham Oikar HaNeder Meikorah. The Chocham declares that the Neder is no longer binding Mikana Lahabor because it was never binding from day number one, because the whole Neder started off in an era. The whole Neder was a Neder B'toy, so it was never binding. So that's what the Gemara says. Chocham Oikar HaNeder Meikorah. The Mishnah in Ksubis, a man marries a girl, ala tanai, aret mikudash is on the condition, shein alayach nidorim. Nimtzo alayach nidorim. So the Mishnah says, so the Kiddushin is not chal, because it was a Kiddushin ala tanai, and there's no kiyim at tanai. But then the Gemara has a price of what happens, she goes to a chacham, and the chacham is mata the neder. So chacham oikar an neder make chorus, it comes out, even though at the time that he gave her the ring, and they say, aret mikudash is li, she had not yet made the hataras nidorim. But later she goes to make HaTorah Nam, so it's going to be Oike the Neder Meikara. The Chacham declares that the whole Neder was a Neder B'toyes. So the Gemara says the Kiddush HaNachal. That's the Gemara in Ksubis on that Mishnah. So that's what the passage in the Zohar explains. That why do we introduce Yom Kippur with reciting of Kol Nidre? if you assume kol nidre is a hataras and dorm l'sha'avar, so we want to emphasize that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, the Torah Shebaal Peh told us this, and Torah Shebichsav doesn't say anything. We have a tradition from the Torah Shebaal Peh that there's such a possibility to be oikar es haneder meikorei, that it should come out to wipe off the whole neder there never was, not only mikana labo. So too, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our tshuva in such a way to be oikar de averis meikorei. The Gemara says there is such a thing. The Gemara says there are various psukim in Tanakh speaking about tshuva. So one pasuk describes tshuva, erpo mishuvosam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will heal all our sins like a doctor who heals a patient. The patient was sick until today. The doctor cures him, he does surgery or he treats him, whatever, he gives him medication. So he's healed mikana l'habo. He's not healed l'mafreya. But then the Gemara says there are higher levels of tshuva where the tshuva can be oika de avera meikorai. It'll be neka meikorai. The Gemara says there's a higher level of tshuva, but is doinus nasan lo kishkogos. The averas that he did last year and the year before did averas b'mezid, so it can be oika the avera mila mafresh, should be considered as if he only violated the avera b'shoigin. The Gemara says there's even a higher level of tshuva, if he'll do tshuva me'yavo, one is tshuva me'yiro. The basic tshuva is mikana labo, that's erpo m'shuvasa mikana labo, like a doctor who heals the sick patient. But there is a possibility that's done in sasala even kizochios, it's considered as if the averas were mitzvahs. Mamish oika de avera mila mafreya. So this kind of a secret is only known through the power of the Torah Shebaal Peh. The whole concept of HaTorah and Dor is only known through the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the passage from the Zohar explains that that's why we introduce Yom Kippur with the reciting of Kol Nidri with HaTorah and Dor. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should give us the opportunity to do the second and the third kind of tshuva, not just the first kind of tshuva, Erpo Meshuvasim. The Mishnah says a man is Mekadosh in Nishan, he says, Hari and the Bryce in Ksuba says, Hari and Mekadosh is Leah Manosh Ein Alayach Mumin. We didn't tell that Mumin. It happens that the girl has a mum. He didn't see the mum because she's wearing a dress. But then after they're married, then he notices that she has a mum. So even if she'll go to a doctor and the doctor will heal the mum, everything will be healed. But at the time that he said the Kiddushin, Hari and Mekadosh is Leah Manosh Ein Alayach Mumin, she had a mum. But if she said, but if the husband said, the chassan said, Hari and Mekadosh is Leah, and she'll go to a chacham, the chacham will be mat there. So et and nedarim is oike the neder meikor, and it comes out that the kedushin was chal. It'll be a gloy milsalam herpereya that there never was a neder. So that's what it says in the Zohar. There are other explanations given also why we begin the day with the reciting of Kol Nidre.
So those of us that are not like Rabbi Meir, so we don't need standing up there, we don't need to say three times.
Right. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, they quote the Mechilta on the Pasuk, when they had the Melchemes Amalek, so it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was holding his hands up. But they were davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had to hold his hands up. So the simple shot in the Pasuk is, why do they need two people, Aram Bechur, one to the right, one to the left, because Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were—he was falling. His hands were too difficult to hold up, so they held it up there. So the Mechilta says, "And that pasuk, mikan, from this pasuk, you derive the tainis tzibur shetzorach shloisha. When you have a chazan, a shliach tzibur, so all year long, all you need is one shliach tzibur. Of course, for the choir, 15-man choir, but you only need one shliach tzibur. And on a tainis tzibur, you have to have three people. You have to have a bezin." What was that three people? What is that? So the Rebbe used to interpret, and you need a bezna of three to paskin that the Rabban Shalom is mukhiyev to give in to us. Because he made a bris, he made a deal, he signed a contract with the Jewish people who's going to take care of all of the needs of the tzibur. He never signed a contract with any yechidim, but he made a bris with the tzibur. So the shloisha, tiny tzibur, and each shloisha means they constitute a bezna and the paskin that the Rabban Shalom is mukhiyev to live up to his half of the deal. Why is he mechuyev? We didn't live up to our half. Why is he mechuyev? If we keep the mitzvahs, then he says he's going to take care of it. We don't keep the mitzvahs. But I was like, so in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes this, that you need two people standing next to the chazan, the whole davening of Yom Kippur. So the Magen Avraham says, we don't follow that practice. We only have two people next to the chazan for Kol Nidre because it's Ataras Nedarim. Then we have two, you only need two people next to the chazan for Ne'ilah. Because Nila is a tefillah satainis. Nila is not a din miyuchad for Yom Kippur. The Mishnah said in the end of Maseches Tainis that Nila was an additional tefillah that they would offer on every tainis tzibur. happens by us, ain't Tainus Siba b'Bavel chutz mitisha b'Avel Yom Kippur. The only Tainus Siba we have is Tish b'Avel Yom Kippur. So that's why we don't say Nila on Shabbos and Thomas and some Gedai. Why don't we say Nila on Tisha B'Av? So that you used to explain the whole idea of Ne'ila is the Gemara, the Bavli and Yerushalmi, especially the Yerushalmi. The end of the Tainus explained that we learn from the Torah, from the Nevi'im, from the Ksuvim, from all of Tanakh, that the more a person prays for a certain thing, so the better he stands a chance of having his prayers answered. Gam kisar b'sfila enenu shamea, yedechem domi maleo, the pasuk in Chazon Yishayahu. Gam kisar b'sfila, usually ribi tefila does help. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, al toysef daber elai od badaber hazeh, don't keep on davening. So the Gemara quotes many psukim from Tanakh to bring out this idea that when you have ribui tefila, so that's what Ne'ila is all about. Not only do we daven Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musa, the Mincha, we add an additional tefila. That's why sometimes, let's say, a person comes in late. He works all day, goes to school, the whole day, and he comes into shul to Ne'ila. So he davens Ne'ila. What is davening Ne'ila? Ne'ila is an addition to the other four tefilas. This is the icing on top of the cake. There's no cake. So what's going to hold the icing? It's going to be Parchas Ba'avir. So if a guy comes in just to Nila, you should tell him, Daven Minche, Daven Musa, Daven something real, don't Daven Nila. Nila is if you Daven all the other tefillah, so let's say someone didn't feel well, and they had to go home. A woman, whatever, a man, a woman, Chayla Miskein. And then they come back to Nila. But they didn't Daven Musa, they didn't Daven Minche yet. So they tell him, don't Daven Nila, Daven Musa, Daven Minche. And then if there's time, say Daven Nila also. It doesn't make sense to daven Nila if you didn't daven the other tefillahs. So the whole idea of Nila is that you stand a better chance of having your prayers answered if you're marbe b'tefillah, you're b'tefillah. But on Tisha B'Av, we know that our prayers are not going to be answered. The pasuk said, we read the pasuk in Echa. Kam ki ezek v'ashaveh asasam tefillosi, because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the prayers are not going to be answered the same way they used to be answered b'zman she Beis HaMikdash ha'yakayim. Because the Beis HaMikdash is not only the makom ha'krobas ha'karbonis, it's ki beisi beis tefillah yikari. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he said in his beautiful tefillah, everyone should face the Beis, everyone should come to daven, the Jews, the non-Jews, everyone should come to daven in the Beis HaMikdash, and even if you're going to daven far away in America, you should face the Beis HaMikdash. But the Rambam, it sounds like that's a din d'oraisa, to daven nochach HaMikdash. On Tisha B'Av, we don't offer tefillas nila, because we were told on Tisha B'Av, because the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so the prayers are not going to be answered. So what are we going to waste our time? We're going to say nila. So we're left with the only tiny sibah that you're left with is a Yom Kippur. Why do you lay in Vaychal on some Gedalia? Vaychal, you only lay in if it's a tiny sibah. A tiny siyochit, if you have 10 people have Yahrzeit on the same day and they're all fasting, they don't lay in Vaychal. You only lay in Vaychal if it's a tiny sibah. So why do you lay in Vaychal on some Gedalia, Shavas HaBetam? So we say, the Gemara says, ain't tiny sibah bubble, chutz mitish bubble Yom Kippur. So the Ge'onim is that Kasha. The Rishonim quote from the Gemara, they ask the kasha and they fudge a little bit. They give some kind of an answer why it's not a tiny sibah vis-a-vis Ne'ila, but it is a tiny sibah with respect to Leini Vaychal. I don't know exactly what they say, but they come up with some kind of an explanation. So that's what the Magen Avraham says. Our meaning is that we only have the two people standing next to the chazan on a tiny sibah, the tiny sdikat tefillah. Ma'ariv, Shachris, and Musaf, and Minchi, daven every day. Daven Shachris. Ma'ariv Shachris Minchi daven every day. Musaf daven on Shabbos Yom Tov also. That's not a tainus dika tefillah. Ne'ila is a tainus dika tefillah. So you have to have two people standing next to the chazan. We don't have two people standing next to the chazan on Ne'ila either. So Morgan Avram says, sure we do. We have the Aron Kodesh open and everybody's standing. Everybody's standing. They're not necessarily standing next to the chazan. So he assumes the chazan is standing on a high pedestal. Chazan is standing next to everybody else, and he has a lot of people standing next to him. So that's what the Magen Avraham says, that the meaning is we don't follow the Mechaber. He says, Mechaber says you have two people standing next to the Chazan from the beginning to the end of the whole Yom Kippur. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to have. Here in the Yeshiva, some years they do like that. They have two people standing next to the Chazan. Rav Soloveitchik recommended we should follow the Mechaber. And the Magen Avraham says we only have the two people next to the Chazan for Kol Nidre because we assume it's a Taurus Nidorim. And for Ne'ilu, because that's a Tfilos HaTainus. So then this thing kicks in. That a tiny tzibah tzorach shloisha. Then we recite the bracha shehecha yonu. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem Amud Beis raises the question. Shehecha yonu on shalosh regalim. We know that you say shehecha yonu. The Gemara says yaknahas. You say You say Shachyanu at the end of the Kiddush. But what about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Do you say Shachyanu? It's a funny Gemara. No one remembers what they did last year. I remember I was once in the yeshiva many years ago. So one of the boys said Havdalah in the high school dorm. Mamish from a farmer, a yeshivanik, he didn't know how to say Havdalah. So he said, he didn't care the Shua. I said, then he says, Bar Piagov, and he starts to drink the wine. So he said, no, you got to say Havdalah first. He never saw Havdalah. He never knew that you don't drink the wine. First got to say Bar Piagov, and then you say the other brachas. Yayin, Besamim, there, Havdalah. So what is that? A strange Gemara. The Gemara doesn't remember whether you say Shechyonim and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Nobody remembers. The Gemara says, no, come on. Of course he says Shechyonim. They wanted to know whether Shechyonim is a Rishus or Shechyonim is a Chayva. Shechyonim on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos is a Chayva. And Shmini Atzeres is also a Chayva. But Shechyonim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a Rishus, it certainly is. It's Legor from a Pi Chodosh. If you see a Pi Chodosh, you say Shechyonim. So Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is Legor from a Pi Chodosh. The Sofik of the Gemara was, is it a Chayva or not? What exactly was the Sofik? So the Rishonim explained, Shechyonim on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos is a Chayva, because it's a mitzvah of simcha. So Shechyanu is a little bit like a birchas ha-mitzvah over the simchas yantam. Shail is there a mitzvah of simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not? So the truth of the matter, this is a tshuva in the Shagasar. The truth of the matter, Rav Soloveitchik always used to say this. It's a machlekes ha-tanoim in the Mishnah in Moed Katan, in the third parak. If someone is observing avelus and then yantav comes, so yantav cancels shiva, or yantav cancels shloshim, whatever the person is in the middle of. Why does Yantav cancel Shiva? Why does Yantav cancel Shloshim? So Taisa quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi. Now the Gemara says why. The Gemara explains why. Because on Yantav there's a mitzvah of Simcha, and Avelis is the opposite of Simcha, and it's a contradiction. You can't have both. So the Gemara has the expression, Asi Esed Rabim, V'dochi Esed Yochid. The mitzvah of Simcha is Yantav beats out, so to speak, the mitzvah of Avelis. Simchas Yantav is on all of Klal Yisrael, is Mechayiv and Simchas Yantav. And this oval is part of Klal Yisrael. So he swallowed up. So everybody is observing Simchas Yantav, so he can't observe his Avelis now. I start the Shiva now and finish after Yantav, so we assume that the Shiva has to be Ritzufim. The Shloshim has to be Ritzufim. So since the Yantav is Mafsik, the Shiva, Mafsik the Shloshim, so you don't continue after the Yantav. So that's a Machlokes HaTanaim. What's the din of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also cancel Avelis. Or not. So halacha lemaisa we pass in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur do cancel avelus, but that could be, the Gemara says that's how we pass. But that could be because we have a klal halacha k'divra mekel ba'avul. That's what we were talking about yesterday on the Gemara. That could be the suffix. Maybe we really hold halacha lemaisa that there's no chiyuv simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But because there was such an opinion in the days of the Tanaim, so with respect to hilchas avelus, you go l'kulam. So what's taka the din on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Do we pass in Halacha lemaisa, there is a chiyuv simcha, or only b'torah safik that it cancels avelus. So maybe that's what the Rishonim say. I think the Rabbeinu Yohanan and Ulanel says like that on the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem and Beis. That was the Gemara safik, where the Shechyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a chayva, just a rishus. It'll be a chayva if there's a chiyuv simcha. So we paskin that there is a chiyuv simcha. And do say Shechyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So then the Gemara says there on that daf, on the same daf in Erev and Daf Mem and Beis, that strictly speaking, the Shechyanu that you recite on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos and Rosh Hashanah doesn't have to be recited over a cup of wine. Shechyanu, I'm Rafila Bashuk. You can say Shechyanu while you're walking in the street. You enhance the chashivas of the bracha if you save it till the end of the Kiddush and you make it into a bracha alako. So that's our practice. We save the Shechyanu. We don't say it in the shul. We don't say it while we're walking in the streets. We say the Shechyanu at the end of the Kiddush before we drink the wine. That it should have the added chashivas of being a bracha lakos. So the Gemara wants to know, what about on Leil Yom Kippur? When they say Shechyanu, should we say Shechyanu over a cup of wine or not? So the Gemara says, what are you going to say Shechyanu over a cup of wine? So who's going to drink the wine? Just to say a bracha lakos, not to drink it, so you don't gain anything. If no one takes a sip of the wine, so it's not considered a bracha lakos. So the Gemara says, what's so bad? Someone should say Shechyanu lakos and give the cup of wine to a child who is not fasting. There are younger children who are not fasting. So the Gemara says that's, educationally speaking, that's a bad idea because the child may grow up and he'll think, he'll remember, the rabbi told me to drink the cup of wine on Leil Yom Kippur. So he'll think that he still continues to drink the wine even after he becomes bar mitzvah. So the Gemara said that's not a good idea. Then the Gemara says, why don't you say Shachyanu Mibal Yom? Say Shachyanu before Yom Kippur enters, and then drink the cup of wine, and then be Mekabel Yom. Gemara says he can't do that. Once you say Shachyanu, it becomes Yom Kippur automatically. You can't say Shachyanu and have in mind that it shouldn't become Yom Kippur. That's the Gemara that Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. That a lot of women, when they bench licht on Erev Yom Kippur, so they say on Erev Yontov, they say L'hadig Nershal Yontov, L'hadig Nershal Yom Kippurim, and then they say Shachyanu after the bracha of Hadlakas Aneiros. So a lot of times they have in mind they're going to drive to shul later on. So usually we're choshish for the Bahag's opinion that it's not right. Once the woman recites the bracha L'hadig Nershal Shabbos, when she lights the candle, so we say that that's considered a Tasef Shabbos Bal Korcho. The Bahag says it based on this Gemara, and Erev and Daf Mem and Beis. The Gemara says, once you say Shechyanu on Erev Yom Kippur, so it becomes Tosefes Yom Kippur. You can't say Shechyanu on Erev Yom Kippur. It can only be recited on Yom Kippur. So the Bahag says the same is true, Lahadig Ner Shal Shabbos. Once you say the Bracha, Lahadig Ner Shal Shabbos, becomes Tosefes Shabbos Bal Korcho for the whole family. So we don't follow the Bahag for the whole family, but Lachatchila B'choshish for the Bahag, for the person, for the woman who lit the candles, that she should not do Malach. Unless it's a Shas HaTchak, so then we permit her to follow the Iker Adin like the other poskim. That if she makes it tonight, if she has in mind that she doesn't want to be mekabel Tosef for Shabbos, so she can still do malacha. But if it's Erev Yontif or Erev Yom Kippur, in addition to L'hadlik Ner Shal Yontif, she said also Shachyanu. So the Gemara says, once you say Shachyanu, so then it becomes Yontif. That's L'chala days. That's not the Bahag. That's the Gemara in Erevin says that. So if the woman wants to make it tonight, she plans to drive to shul, so let her not say Shachyanu when she benches L'ch. Let her say Shachyanu when the Chazan says in shul. And all the men say, she'll do like the men. We live in a generation, the women like to do like the men. So they should all stop saying Shachyanu when they bench them. They should always say in shul on Leil Yom Kippur. They should be lying and they should say Shachyanu when they say Kiddush. Yeah.
If the woman has to do some other malacha, but she's not going to go to shul, then should she also wait for
Mekdesh and Shekhan? Same thing, yeah. If she wants to be masna, that she doesn't want to be Mekabel Kedushas Hayom, she wants to do a malacha, then she can say Shechyon. Once you say Shechyon, for sure it's already a Kabbalah Tosefes Yom
Kippur. What about saying
Kol Nidre?
The Yechidus? No, for the woman after she's already
Mekabel
Tosefes
Yom
Kippur.
Yeah. The Nusach that we say Kol Nidre, that is Lahabah, that for sure is not a problem. Even the Nusach that is Hataras and Dorm Nishavar, but it's not a Nisa Malacha. It's a question, what's the prohibition? The Gemara says, you're not allowed to be Matan Adarim on Shabbos and Yom Tov, unless it's Tzarech HaShabbos, but it's not a Malacha. So during this Man of Tosefes, we only prohibit doing Malachas, Malacha Deraisa, Malacha Derabban, whatever is only a Gzera, we allow. It's Hataras and Dorm during this Man of Tosefes, is a Mutam. Pashto says that it's Mutam. It says in Shulchan Aruch that everyone should say Shechyanu along with the Chazan. They should say it before the Chazan finishes. They shouldn't wait till he says Shechyanu, say Amen, and then say Shechyanu, because according to some Rishonim, once I answered Amen to someone else's Shechyanu, I was Yotzei already, and then if I'll repeat my own Shechyanu, it'll be a Brach Levatolam. So that's why the Poskim say you should say Shechyanu simultaneously with the Chazan. You should finish before the Chazan, and then when he finishes the Bracha, Shechyanu v'gmanu v'gyanu l'zman hazeh, then we should all answer Amen.
Before.
Same thing. Sometime, yeah, you should say Shachyanu before the Chazan, either before the Chazan begins or before the Chazan finishes.
The minhag in most Ashkenazi places is that we don't know about that opinion, like by Hallel. So the Chazan says Hallel, we say Amen, and then everyone says.
Yeah, Rav Soloveitchik thought that by the Halal also, since this is the practice by Shachyanu on Leil Yom Kippur, so he thought you should do the same by Halal. He thought you should say the bracha with the Chazan, before the Chazan, whatever, and then answer Amen after the Chazan says the bracha. He thought if you're going to answer Amen after the Chazan finishes his bracha, then it's a shaila if you're allowed to say your own bracha. Even though you didn't have kavanah to be yotzei with his, but the simple reading of the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, is that if you all mitzvah Saint Tzvichas kavanah, then even Shemei Kohen also does need kavanah. So if I just said Amen to the Chazan's bracha, I would be yotzei already, and if I would recite my own bracha, I'll likra sahala, I'll be a bracha l'matom.
Same as
your soulmate? Same, yeah. Like all these cases, yeah.
If you have kavanah not to be yotzei,
if
you have kavanah, or you say
brachah
shemel or something like that,
that
should be.
If you have kavanah shalol lotzis, yeah, then for sure you're not yotzei. If you have kavanah shalol lotzis, but not everybody has that kavanah shalol lotzis, yeah. say Baruchu Roshmoy, that's a machlokes. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, whenever I want to be yotze with someone else's bracha, say Kiddush or Havdalah, so if I say Baruchu Roshmoy, so he thinks that that's a hepsik and you're not yotze. And the Ksav Sofer writes that in his father's shul, in the Ksav Sofer shul, they never announced by the Mikra Megillah and by the Kiyah Shofer, they never made an announcement they shouldn't say Baruch Hu Rosh Mai. He says a lot of people said Baruch Hu Rosh Mai. He says apparently his father, the Chassam Sofer, was not so convinced that it should be hefsek. The Dogma of Rav, by the Nevi Yehuda, writes like that. You say Baruch Hu Rosh Mai on a Baruch Hu, you want to be Yotze, that constitutes a hefsek. And others are not so convinced.
Why can't we say, like you said, like that sound asks is not to be Yotze?
Kiddush and Shul, yeah, that's what the Chassam Sofer says, that we assume that people want to do the mitzvahs the way the Chachamim recommended. And the Chacham don't want us to be out to Kiddush and Shul, they want us to be out to Kiddush Mamakam Suda. And Kiddush Ala Mamakam Suda. So since the Chachamim don't want us to be out to Kiddush and Shul, even though I don't know what I have in mind, that's the equivalent of Kavanah Shalolot. I have in mind to do whatever the rabbis want me to do, whatever the correct practice is. Yeah, but over here, what's wrong? I can be Yotze Shachyana with the Chazan. I can say my Yon Shachyana, I can say Amen to his bracha, one or the other. So why should you assume that that I'm not yet?
Why do you say
Baruch
Ham Hadras Melachim,
we
should all be
Yotze
with the
Chazan
and
Shachyana? Yeah, that's a good title. I don't know. It's a very strong title. The meaning is that on Yom Kippur we say Baruch Shem Kvar Mechusam Liyom Vod out loud. It says in Shulchan Aruch like that. All year long we say it softly because Yaakov Avinu said it. And the children said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Yaakov Avinu responded Baruch Shem Kvar Mechusam Liyom Vod. But Moshe Rabbeinu was not commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to write this in the Chumash, so he left it out. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't put in on his own. So we say it Balachash. So why all of a sudden on Yom Kippur, why do we say B'kol Rav? So they give different suggestions. What is this all about? So the Nesivus was a rabbi. He used to give drushes. So he published his drushes in the Sefer Nachlas Yaakov. So he gives his suggestion. He quotes from starts off by quoting the Maharshal. How come when the children of Yaakov Avinu said, what was the whole background? Because Yaakov Galus and Sakets. Yaakov Avinu tells the children, Hayosva Yagir Lachem. He says, he wants to tell him when the Ketz Hayamin is going to be. When is Mashiach going to come? We'd all like to know. When is Mashiach going to come already? So, Nistalka Hemenu Ruach HaKadosh, and he didn't know what to tell him. So he couldn't understand. Why was Nistalka Hemenu Ruach HaKadosh? He thought, Shem Yesh Bechem Pegam. It's like to tell over the sod of when Mashiach is going to come. Is Aim Megala Nelil, it's new. Maybe you're not supposed to tell a person who's not religious. They thought maybe one of his children is not observant. What could they be not observant? How many mitzvahs did they have? They had bris milah. No, he was the father. He knew that all of his 12 sons had a bris milah. No shaila. Was anybody intermarried? Nobody was intermarried. That was one of the mitzvahs that they were given. They all lived in Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to go back to Eretz Yisrael. They were in Egypt as he was about to die. But they were all Zionists. That was they had to keep the Sheva mitzvahs b'nerach plus milah. And intermarriage, and to hold that Eretz Yisrael is your national homeland. Okay, that they believed in. The other thing is, he didn't know if they had emunah. It says Lias Lachol Alikim Azarach Achrah. He thought maybe one of them is an Afikar. So they all told the father, Dad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Alken, Hashem Echad. We believe the same emunah that you believe in. So the father was so excited. 100%. The children are all religious. That was the whole Yiddishkeit in the days of Yaakov Avinu. You had the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nerach, then you have Bris Milah. Then you had to keep Gid on Osha, okay? He knew in his home that no one was eating any Gid on Osha. You weren't allowed to intermarry. Lias L'cholokim Mizarach Achrecha, the Gemara in Yavama says, means they're not allowed to intermarry because then the children will be non-Jewish. If you marry a Nochris, the children won't be Jewish. He knew no one was intermarried. He knew they were all Zionists, Eretz Yisrael. So the only thing he didn't know was whether they had a Emunah. Lias L'cholokim. So they said, Hashem HaKen, Hashem HaKen. So he was so excited. He jumps from joy. He says, Baruch Shem, Baruch Shem, wonderful, he's so excited. Moshe Rabbeinu, by the time Moshe Rabbeinu is recording this in the Chumash, he can't jump from joy because he's a Jew at heart, because he keeps Gid on Asha and Bris Milah and Zionism, and now no intermarriage. and emuna. And what about Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras and Mishpacha? What about Tzitzis and Tefillah? So the Mashal says that's why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't put Baruch Shem Kvod Chazal Avod in the Chumash. He can't jump from joy just because a person subscribes to Yisma Yisrael Hashem Okein Hashem Echad. But on Yom Kippur, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us a break. So we scream out loud, Baruch Shem Kvod Chazal Avod, Ribbono Shel Olam. You should be excited over the fact that at least we keep Judaism according to the Madura Rishonim. We keep Judaism the way it was kept in the days of Yaakov Avinu. We all have a bris milah. None of us are intermarried. We don't need Gidon Asher. Some people do eat Gidon Asher. Okay. You have to make sure that the butcher removes the Gidon Asher. Yeah. That's the suggestion that that the Nesivis has. Others give, and Shulchanah, they give other suggestions. Why the minig is a strange minig? Why the minig is that on Yom Kippur you scream out, Baruch Shem Kvod Mechus Yon Vod Alflam? In the Shemoneh Esrei of Leil Yom Kippurim, you add on the lines that the Masech HaSoifim added on from the Gonim, Zerchein HaLachayim, Melech HaLachayim, Yichmoch HaVarachmim, and so on. The Chayodam corrects the reading. He thinks that it's not correct the way it's written. He quotes all this from the Rakeach, exactly how many words there's supposed to be in every tefillah and how many letters in every tefillah. So he thinks that Zerchein HaLachayim should not say V'chasvein HaMaseif HaChayim. He says you have to leave out the Vav, it should say Chasvein HaMaseif HaChayim, because it's supposed to have two letters fewer than it has. So the only two letters you can omit are V'chasvein HaMaseif HaChayim. So he leaves out the Vav of V'chasvein, it leaves out the He of HaChayim. Then he thinks that you have to leave out Kemoshi Adano Shasham HaKen Hashem Sholton Lofanach. He says he thinks you have to leave out the word Kemo, because the Rekach tells you how many words there's supposed to be in that tefillah, and there's an extra word. So the only word that can be thrown out is the word Kemoshi Adam. Then he says, Shahasholton Lofanach, he thinks that the correct reading is with a comment. Instead of Shilton, it should say Sholton. Others disagree. They say Shilton is more correct. But that's what the Chayodam says. When I was a student here in Yeshiva, we never heard of Mishnah Berurah. I didn't see a Mishnah Berurah until a few years after I was married. And I didn't get married 100 years ago either. So in the class, we used to they taught us Chayodam. And then when we got a little older, so they taught us the big Shulchan Aruch with the Magen Avraham. We never had a Mishnah Berurah. So remember, when I was in high school here, the Chayodam was the Bible. So we learned the Chayodam. So that's what he says. Then he says, Kol Rishi Kula Bi'oshen Tichla. He thinks that the Chof is a mistake and should say Bi'oshen. Others insist, no, that it's say Ki'oshen. There are Pesukim in Tanakh where it says Ki'oshen. But that's what the Chayodam writes. He thinks that it should be Bi'oshen. Then at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, you have the Shinui in the Schos, whether the closing bracha is Baruch Hashem Yisrael Bashalom or Oysa Hashalom. So usually it's assumed that the Nusach Ashkenaz is Oysa Hashalom, and Nusach Svar retains the same Nusach HaBrach and Baruch Hashem Yisrael Bashalom. Rav Chaim Volozhin quotes from the Vilna Goyen that he was very opposed to changing the Nusach HaBrach unless it says in the Gemara. So he says it doesn't say in the Gemara he's supposed to change the Nusach HaBrach and Baruch Hashem Yisrael Bashalom. So he says you should leave it the way it is. It's here the Nusach Sfard is more correct than the Nusach Ashkenaz. And he said the same when the Kohanim Duchen, so the minig is most places that the Chazan changes the Nusach HaBrach and the Chazoros HaShatz, instead of saying HaMachzer Shchinosa Letzion, so he says Shoscha Levatcha Bira Navod. So the Gro felt that that's not correct. That was a Nusach HaBrach that was recited in the Beis HaMikdash. But it doesn't say anywhere in the sources that you're supposed to change the Nusach HaBrach when you duchen. So you thought you should retain the Bracha. HaMachzer Shchinosa Letzion. In Europe, in the Lithuanian yeshivas didn't always follow the Nusach HaGro. But I think this they probably did say, like the Nusach HaGro. HaMachzer Shchinosa Letzion, HaBrach HaSam Yisrael Bashalom. This is a Kveda, not to change the Nusach HaBrach. Same thing on Leil Yomim Tovim, when you say Ma'aravis. So instead of saying Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael before Shemoneh Esrei Ma'ariv, before Hashkivenu, so when they added on Yom Kippur, there is no Ma'aravis. But when they would add on Ma'aravis on Leil Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, so they would change the Nusach HaChasim, instead of saying Goal Yisrael, they would say Tzur Yisrael V'Goalom. So he and the Chasim is HaBrachas. So Rav Chaim Volozhin, of course, the Gro was opposed to that also. That it's not proper to change the Nusach HaBrach. The Gemara has a machlekes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, how many aliyahs do you give on Yom Kippur? And how many aliyahs do you give on Shabbos? We give a number of aliyahs in accordance to how important the day is. So on Monday or Thursday, Chanukah and Purim, you give 3 aliyahs. On Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, you give 4 aliyahs. Yom Tov is more important, you give 5 aliyahs. So what's next and what's the highest on the ladder? So Rabbi Akiva thinks that Yom Kippur is 7 aliyahs and Shabbos is 6 aliyahs. And we don't follow Rabbi Akiva, follow Rabbi Shmuel, that Shabbos is 7 aliyahs and Yom Kippur is only 6 aliyahs. We follow Rabbi Shmuel, that Shabbos has a higher level of Kedusha, so you give only 7 aliyahs on Shabbos. On Friday night we spoke a lot about the Nusach of the Seidu HaVoida, okay. Not enough time to review it now. When you have the Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha, there's a machlokes, the Mechaber and the Ramah, whether the Kriyas HaTorah is Betoras Tainis Tzibur. That's how the Ramah writes. So you end up Baruch Ata Hashem Magen David, and the Mechaber writes not so. Mechaber writes that it's Betoras Yom Kippur. So you should say Allah Torah Be'Ala Avaydo Bal Yom Kippurim Hazeh. And you should conclude Melech al Kol Haaretz Mekadesh Yisrael v'Yom HaKippur. So the Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. So that's what the Marcheshes was, a dayan in Vilna. He was older than Rav Chaim Oiz and he outlived him. He was a dayan the same time as Rav Chaim Oiz in Vilna. So the Marcheshes has a Dvar Torah. Rav Soloveitchik didn't know it from the Sefer. Marcheshes is a tshuva, Shabbos is a tshuva Sefer. Rav Soloveitchik knew it because he heard it from him in person. He didn't. I don't think he ever saw the Sefer of Marcheshes. So he was fond of saying this over, that this is a fundamental machlokes. The Chavon and Ramah, whether the Kriyas HaTorah and Mincha is Betoras Tainis Sibur, that's how the Ramah says, a Yend of Magen David, or the Kriyas HaTorah is Betoras Yom Kippur. They said there are two minhagim, whether you sing the special eerie niggin for the Kriyas HaTorah and the special eerie niggin for the Aliyah, Baruch Es Hashem Hamavayroch, or you sing regular Baruch Es Hashem Hamavayroch. It's a regular Tainis Sibadiki Kriyas HaTorah. So he said those who say like the Ramah should treat it like a Tainis Sibur. Those who follow the Mechaber should treat it like a Yom Noraim Dike. So that's what he heard. That whole piece he heard that from the Marcheshes. Okay, it's supposed to be a big mincha today. 2:35. Well, on our way. Yeah, you have to check for